Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Off Menu with me, Ed Gamble. And who's that over there?
His name is James Acaster.
James Acaster. He's a good boy, isn't he?
Good boy.
Welcome back to the podcast. I hope you've been listening to all the other lovely episodes. Today we've got a wonderful guest in the shape of Richard Osman. And when I say that, it is Richard Osman, not just someone in the shape of him.
No one else is in the shape of him.
No, that would be shape. Very difficult to track down.
Yes. He tells us loads of great stuff, all the food that he likes, and... Or no.
James is very good at intros.
No, I'm not going to give anything away.
He picks his favourite meal as per on the Off Menu podcast. Lots of interesting discussions. He also comes for me quite hard.
Yeah, Ed gets it.
I get it.
Ed's staring down the barrel for most of this episode.
And he sticks
it was
the boot in.
Pleasure for me to watch.
Our secret ingredient. Every week we have a secret ingredient that we don't tell the guests in advance. And if they bring it up, we'll take them to task for it because it's an ingredient we don't enjoy. And today that ingredient is, drum roll, James.
Oh, no, don't hit the desk.
Coriander.
Oh, a loom splitter.
I don't mind the flavour, but I think it just gets sprinkled on too much stuff.
Yeah. Gets invited to every party and it's not exactly the life and soul.
No. Gets invited to every party and it's not an everyman.
Yeah.
It makes its presence known.
Doesn't make sense to... I actually don't like it in carrot and coriander soup. I prefer it if it was just carrot soup.
Well, you like it in carrot and coriander soup.
No.
Because if you got carrot and coriander soup and there was no coriander in it, you'd be the first to complain.
No, I say keep the name the same and get rid of the coriander.
Right, you're mad. Anyway, this is Richard Osman. We're here with Richard Osman. Hello.
Hello, Ed. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you very much for coming to our dream restaurant, James.
Can I take your coat?
Yeah, sure. Here you go.
Thank you very much. Oh, a creaky coat.
That's a very
It's a really old leather coat.
Oh, lovely stuff.
Would the waiter take the coat as well? No.
In a small restaurant, they would.
Yeah.
So this is a small restaurant.
I'm the only one who works on because I'm the genie.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot. He's also a genie.
It'll be a long afternoon.
Yeah. So it's all me.
So you're a genie. And why would you run a restaurant?
I'm a genie because this is your favourite, this is your dream restaurant, your favourite restaurant. You can't get all these meals anywhere else. And so naturally a genie would be the one who would...
What if every single thing that I'm going to mention comes from, say, just for the sake of it, comes from Five Guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is like...
They don't really do starters at Five Guys, do they?
Well, you could say
I guess
that
you could have chips as a starter.
A little tiny burger.
Yeah. Oh, those peanuts.
Oh, they are a starter.
You could say that that's a starter.
Have you ever eaten the peanuts in Five Guys?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It makes me feel weird that they're just out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's peculiar, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wild peanuts.
Yeah. It feels like you shouldn't be eating them. It feels like they're more decoration than anything.
Tom Meenan.
What if they are?
Did a funny tweet about that.
When he said did he? Yeah. Well, was it redraw?
He said it used to be called Six Guys, and one of them got fired for ordering too many peanuts.
That's really good. Yeah.
Tom Meenan. Follow him on Twitter, Tom Meenan.
That's very good.
No, James is a genie because what happened was we came up with a very simple, clean format of asking people their dream meals, and James thought we should overcomplicate it by making him a genie.
Tom, listen, we will start, and I've got answers to all of it. But so, Tom, so you're doing a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This was the thought.
Me and Ed love food.
We love food.
We eat a lot of food together. We recommend each other different places to go and eat different dishes. We like talking about it with people. We get excited. And,
this sounds like a pitch meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
So the thing about Ed and I is we love food.
We've got our friendship's sort of based on food. We have a lot of food-based banter.
One of the best TV pictures I ever saw, literally the front page said, this program will appeal to anybody who's ever bought a record or listened to the radio.
Absolutely.
Well, that is everybody.
Wow, that's broad. That's a broad remit.
Yeah, isn't it just? Oh, so you love food.
Love food.
You're a couple of buddies.
And I'm a genie.
See, that's where I sort of get off board, I think, when he's a genie. But hopefully it won't come up again.
No, but people like that from James, don't they? That whimsy.
Yeah.
You're more of an Ivo Graham, Rhys James type of solid.
Well, I'll do better than both of them, actually.
Guess what happened to me yesterday comic. James is a bit more kind of, I'm a genie, I work in a restaurant.
And weirdly, the weirdest stuff actually happens to James and he still has to add on being a genie at the end of it.
Yeah, well, people won't believe it otherwise. You've got to let them know you're a genie. Yes, and if you say all of your food is from Five Guys, then the genie restaurant that I'll create for you is the best Five Guys you've ever been to.
The one in Covent Garden?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So you've taken Richard's coat.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
At the door. Yes.
Oh, I'm seated.
Yeah, you're in.
Table for one.
So, what? Water?
That's the first question. It's water. Yeah. And would you like tap, sparkling, or still?
Oh, so difficult, isn't it? Mm. I think that
you're not paying for it.
I'm not paying for any of this.
No.
Why would I go for tap water then?
Well, that's why I'm throwing that.
No, that's a format flaw. There's no incentive for me to go.
If you are paying.
Yeah.
Would you sparkling to be exotic? Yeah.
Still water. I'd usually ask for tap water, but then that puts pressure on me for the rest of the meal to feel I have to order something expensive. So they don't think I'm ordering tap water to be cheap. I'm just ordering it to save the environment. Yeah. I go, no, I'm ordering this environmentally, not because
it's free.
Yeah, exactly. So tap water, but then I'd order a more expensive main course than I previously would have done.
Clever.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I've got them, right?
Very good.
Yeah. Get out of that.
Do you like it when? So I was in a restaurant recently.
No way. You guys really do like food.
We love food. Yeah.
We didn't make it up.
You should do a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, what's the name of the podcast?
Off Menu.
Oh, so good, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's kind of like it says, we're slightly maverick.
Yeah.
It's about food. If you like food, we've got the word menu in there.
Yeah.
If you like maverick comedy, it's like Off Menu.
Yeah.
Actually, we're like, not like menu.
Not what you're expecting.
We can improv. People know we can improv.
But Off Menu, holy fuck.
We're outside the box. We're Off Menu.
You're outside the bento box. Yeah, right. It's amazing.
Also a good title.
Write that down, Ben. I don't answer the bento box, please, Ben.
Ben is like the sous chef here, right?
Yeah.
Who you just shout at in the kitchen.
Yeah.
If Ben was in the podcast more, it would be called Outside the Bento Box.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's really good.
Now we've done water, what comes up?
Yeah. Bread or poppadoms, Richard!
Say again?
Bread or poppadoms!
Oh, bread or poppadoms. Yeah. Well, it depends what sort of restaurant I'm in. I would say.
Listen, you're in your dream restaurant where you can get bread or poppadoms.
Okay, well, listen.
You can get the best bread or poppadoms.
Yeah. It's poppadoms, right?
Poppadoms is poppadoms.
Poppadoms is poppadoms.
Oh, Theresa May's in the house.
By Madonna. Yeah. Bread covers every single other type of bread ever created in any culture, in any type of history, apart from poppadoms.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it would be weird if you said poppadoms. I'll go for bread, please.
What kind of bread do you want?
I don't know.
If you're going to say about that,
yeah.
Then what kind of bread? Because I'm not going to bring you all the types of bread from all of history. Right.
You're a genie, aren't you?
Yeah. I could do that.
Yeah, you could
do that. Yes, please.
You want all the bread from ever.
It might be a bit carby for me.
Yeah, it might be. I'll get you on the banquet table.
Yeah, very nice.
Finish it all before you...
I like it when you go to a posh restaurant and they do that bread when it's warm. I don't care even if they just put it in the microwave. Stick a bit of Mother's Pride in the microwave.
Nice warm bread.
For me.
Yeah.
And the salty butter. Don't bring out bread and then bring out butter that's so rock hard.
Yes.
It's impossible for me to... I mean, soft, you're salty. A restaurant. So this is all you're doing.
Absolutely.
Every
awful.
Single person you're bringing out butter to them.
Yeah.
Every single person is going to have the same trouble if it's cold.
Yeah.
You can't spread it. What's the point of that?
Absolutely hate dragging it a lot and just having it all cooked.
Lumps.
And then do you ever just like deal with just have it this solid rectangle of butter in the middle of the bread and you got to eat it all at once?
Don't. I would tend not to. I would tend to just leave that.
You would just be like, this is a write-off. I'm not doing it.
Absolute, which is a shame, because I like some bread at the start of a meal.
So do I.
Because when else do you eat bits of bread?
Yeah, exactly. You don't eat a big lump of bread.
You never at home just go, oh, I'm hungry. I'm going to eat some bread, and then I'll have some food.
Yeah, and then dinner time.
Yeah.
Did you dip it in some oil?
No, I don't really like that. I'm quite fussy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like it when they bring out things I don't really know what it is.
You know what oil is, though, right?
I know what... Yeah. But
you're nothing come on, your pointless computer. Don't even know what oil is.
I think I do. Although define oil. I've got him here, James.
Well,
it's impossible just to define.
There's many different oils. Olive oil.
I didn't say name some oils.
Right. Define oil. Liquid fat. Yeah.
Well, no, petroleum isn't liquid fat, is it?
No, but they're not going to bring you out a bit of petroleum, are they?
Oh, he's absolutely dodging the question. What was the question?
Define oil.
Define oil.
Yeah, but why am I defining oil? I can't remember why I'm defining it now.
Because you said you know what oil is, don't you?
Yeah. But you know when they present you with some oil, you know what that is.
I suppose so. Anyway, I don't like it. That's what I'm saying.
Liquid fat. It's a tricky question.
It is a tricky question.
Yeah.
If you have to define it virtually anything, it's almost impossible.
Mm.
I'd like to... Yes, please, do some bread. Is my
black water.
Black water, yeah, there you
defined
go.
Defined oil.
Did you?
Oh, no. Slippy water.
Slippy water. Slippy water for your car.
Yeah.
Should we move on to a starter?
What do you like for your starter?
Your dream starter.
That's such a good question. When I was a boy, when I was a youngster, I think sometimes I've worked in this industry a really long time,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a really long time. I'm quite old, but I don't think I'm old.
Yeah.
But when I think about the generations of comics who I've seen grow up, and then I'm sitting here with you two,
yes.
and you're like really young, and I think, God, how old must you think I am? Mm-hmm. Because then I think forward to how old I thought people were when I was in telly, and I was thinking, you're like 32, right? Something like that. And
I'm exactly 32.
33.
And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm 47, so I was thinking, well, who's 15 years older than me? So me to you is the same as someone 15 years older than me. Do you know who that is? Theresa May. Oh, Theresa May to me is the same age as you think I am.
And when you were just starting out, you remember seeing her on the circuit.
Yeah, she was, so old. Type 5. Yeah. She was the Tom Neenan of her day. Anyway, when I was younger, we didn't used to have restaurants at all. But as a starter, they would give you an orange juice. That would be the starter. You'd go out once a year. We went to the Carvery for my nan's birthday. That's the only time we'd go out. And you would have an orange juice. You could have melon or you could have an orange juice. And then there was like prawn cocktail you could have. And that was it. That was a starter. They would bring you like a glass of orange juice. Was a starter. Can you believe that?
Would they put it in the middle of your, like in between the knife and fork?
Yeah, yeah.
They put it and you'd...
Yeah, and you just
would you drink it or eat it with a straw?
You would drink. I didn't really know how to, but that's what you would have. It's crazy. The world has changed. A lot of food has changed.
I'd kick off if they did that.
Yeah,
this podcast would be so boring if it was from 35, 40 years
ago.
It would just be called orange juice or melon.
So I would have. I tell you what, I think is the best food. This was a difficult question for me until literally last week when I went out for dinner with a couple of comedy writers to a restaurant. There's a new restaurant in London called Cora Pearl. That's what it's called. And perfectly nice.
Yeah.
Nice food and everything. But the starter they had solved a problem for me. I think the best food in the world pretty much is a toasted ham and cheese sandwich or a toasted ham and bacon sandwich, something like that.
Yeah,
you know, some mixture of bread, cheese.
Done well,
and pork. But, you know, you can't get that as a starter anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wrong. Because at Cora Pearl, they bring you out this sort of artisan, they've got three sort of finger sandwiches it's a toasted ham and cheese sandwich, like pulled pork and cheese. And it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So now that you can have a toasted ham and cheese sandwich as a starter, I think maybe that would be my best starter. That's a good starter, right?
That is a very good starter. What kind of bread is it?
It's very crispy, and they've obviously buttered the outside as well. Good. Like a proper toasted sandwich.
Very important.
And it's, I don't know, it's white, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then it's got, and I don't know what type of cheese it was, and I don't know what type of ham it was, other than it was delicious. But toasted ham and cheese sandwiches, I think are amazing. All the, you know, Starbucks, Costa, anywhere. Yeah. That's the way to go, isn't
very
it?
Very comforting food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, incredible. Yeah.
It's one of those things where the first time you have a toasty, it is a bit of a game changer. You do. Yes. It is an amazing experience the first time you have it. Delicious.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a toaster?
Do you toast at home?
Yeah, a Breville.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. But Breville's are better. You don't get anything better than in a Breville. However lovely this Cora Pearl was, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be, like a cheese toasted sandwich that you'd make at home in a Breville, which is
the
weird,
one
right?
They make the pocket in the the bread. Yeah, you need that.
Yeah, it's incredible. In the same way that, you know, if Heston Blumenthal came up with Frazzles, everyone would go, this is the most extraordinary thing anyone's ever made. I mean, this is literally, imagine if you didn't know what Frazzles were, and you went along and you said, I've got these bacon crisp things, and you ate them, and you just went, how have you done this?
Genius.
This is absolutely extraordinary. You know, so there are certain things.
We should probably make, and that's why the restaurant format works. Because if it was just any food, what's your favourite food? Mm. Every episode would be Frazzles with everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
Everyone just say Frazzles.
I was tempted.
Good luck beating it.
Frazzles would be a good starter as well, I think. Just a bit.
I think Frazzles, I would be honestly really comfortable with that. Or what's it?
And there was the starter was Frazzles.
Yes.
Would it matter what else was on the menu?
Well, I'd love to do a restaurant where the starter is sweets, the main course is crisps, and the pudding is chocolate. I'd be very comfortable with that. I think people would like that. You could open that in Shoreditch tomorrow, right?
Absolutely, and do it like the restaurant would be laid out like your sitting room at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can just sit on the sofa and
eat. I'll have some sour Skittles to start. Yeah. Thank you. I will have the...
You like sour Skittles, do you?
Oh, yeah. Do you not like them?
No, I quite like sour sweets, but I wouldn't have expected you to like sour sweets.
Really? I love them.
I don't understand.
Oh, my days.
You know.
They're my favourite thing in the
world. I don't understand the phenomenon of sour sweets.
Oh, I just love them.
But anything that makes you do a face, why are you eating it?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Unless it's a happy face.
Well, yeah, okay.
There's a lot of
specifically
faces.
The in pain face.
Define face, define a face.
Yeah. I don't think sour Skittles are particularly sour. I think but you know, if you go down Kingdom of Sweets, which is just down the way from here, where they do sweets from around the world, some of the sour sweets they do, like the Warheads and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And Toxic Waste.
I had a Toxic Waste once when I was driving, and I nearly crashed.
No, they just strip the enamel from your teeth.
Awful.
Used to do the challenge as well as a kid with the Warheads, when it's like, see how long you can have it in your mouth for. Me and my friends would do that. I did love that. Absolutely. Yeah. Last time I was in Kingdom of Sweets, I tried to buy some peanut butter M&Ms.
Yeah.
The lady behind the counter was like, I haven't got any. I was like, why? She went, illegal.
No way.
I was like, what? She went, it's illegal now in England. It's illegal because of new laws about health and stuff. We're doing a petition to try and get them back. So if you want to sign the petition, try and get peanut butter M&Ms back.
I don't think that's
true. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah,
no, here's the thing. I was like, I didn't really believe her, but I was like, okay. I had a really long chat with her about how peanut butter M&Ms were illegal. Yeah.
Did she say at any point, I am at work?
Yeah.
But, am I fascinated?
She didn't care.
Let me just serve this next.
She did not care at all.
Yeah.
The next time I went in there, they were in there again. I said, I thought these were illegal. And she went, we won.
I remember that whole case.
They weren't illegal. Yeah, yeah. She's mixed up illegal with they've run out of stock.
Yeah.
Because I was just in there and they got so much Reese's material there, like Reese's Pieces and Reese's Nutrageous and everything.
Yeah.
There's no way they're banning peanut M&Ms.
Yeah, what's specifically illegal about peanut butter M&Ms?
Makes sense.
That Reese's is allowed.
Maybe they think that the ratio of, you know...
Peanut to
chocolate. It's like, even though they're little...
They're dense.
It's still like...
Each M&M technically has a whole jar of peanut butter in there.
Yeah. Maybe it was like an advertising thing. So peanutty, they're illegal.
Yes. It's just the start of a bit of a PR thing, yeah.
You love peanut butter chocolate. I saw you tweet, you did a tweet once that the Butterfinger cups are better than Reese's peanut butter cups.
Ooh. Yeah, I do think that. I know that's quite controversial, but only because they've got little crispy bits.
I bought them on that recommendation.
No way.
In the trial, I was like, Osman says these are better.
Yeah.
Well, I liked them.
Mm. And also, there's four in a packet instead of three.
Yeah.
So that's better.
Do the maths.
Yeah, you do the maths.
Doesn't take a genius to...
Genius.
To work out that four is better than three.
I think so. But don't you think a Shoreditch restaurant, start with sweets, then crisps, then chocolate?
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, you just kind of do that.
Dress code is like you have to wear just like your pants.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and all other clothes as well, but you do.
Yeah, yeah. You do have to wear pants. You wear pants and then everything over the top of normal. Yeah.
You have to prove it where you're going.
Prove you're wearing pants. Yeah.
Yeah, prove you're wearing pants for a free Diet Coke.
Is there a restaurant called Prove You're Wearing Pants?
PYWP, I call it.
Yeah. PYWP.
We call it in Shoreditch. Imagine that.
So you have to go in and prove you're wearing pants.
Yeah. And then you order your Starburst.
Yeah.
And then I would have the Skips with a side of What's-Its.
Would it be a quite pretentious? Would it be a full packet of Starburst, or would it be a single Starburst on a plate?
No,
because you have to pig out, right? That's the. Yeah. Feels like you need to binge at this place.
If you've ever seen, I tweeted something that my daughter did. It's really worth looking at because it's absolutely brilliant. They went to an all-you-can-eat buffet. Her and some of her mates, and they had a competition where you had to using all the all-you-can-eat buffets and the kind of stuff they have there. They had to make the plate of food that looked most like it was in a MasterChef final.
Great,
but just from the things at all-you-can-eat buffet.
Really,
and I tweeted her winning winning
amazing.
Entry.
Amazing, that's such.
But
a
they were
good
doing
idea.
It, and like always in that place, if you do anything weird, the security guard came over and said, "Can I ask what you're doing?" And in the end, they got him to judge the competition. So but it was amazing. It's amazing. Just had a little smear of something there, that's and a little pickled brilliant. Onion in the middle. Yeah, it's really good. A couple of bits of
smears are very important in MasterChef, aren't they? You've got to get a smear of sauce, right?
Yeah, you really do. Mm. But anyway, that's a fun game to play.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah. You'd be very good at it.
I
so you guys love food, right?
No, we're the ones being pitched a show, but I absolutely love it and I'm on board. For anyone who's ever eaten a meal or seen a meal.
Yeah. For anyone who's ever eaten
seen
food.
A meal.
Yeah.
For anyone who's ever needed to eat food to survive.
Yeah. You will love this show.
It's a competition where it's called smear test.
Yeah.
And you've got to get the smear right.
Goodness me.
Perfect. You call it smear test.
Oh, gents. Goodness me. This new generation of comedians.
Very rude.
That's really rude, isn't
Very
it?
Very blue.
Yeah. You work blue.
Yeah, I work
blue. It's only rude if you already know what a smear test is. Otherwise, we're just innocent boys.
It's not even rude anyway, to be fair, because a smear test is a perfectly... But it'd just be a weird thing to call a TV show.
We'll see about that.
I know you've got a lot of experience, but you're very much from the old school, Richard.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
this
true.
This new generation, we want shows called like Smear Test. And
I tell you what, if you called it Michael McIntyre's Smear Test, you'd have yourself a hit.
Yeah.
I mean, no disrespect to you guys, but that's the way to sell it.
I haven't seen him doing anything for a while. What's
McIntyre.
What's he doing?
Smear Test.
Smear Test.
Well, I don't think he should be in the show, but we should still call it Michael McIntyre's Smear Test.
Yeah. When you're making a toasty at home.
Yeah.
Do you neaten it up around the edges?
No, that's the best bit, right?
You've got to keep that.
Burnt cheese is one of the best foods in the world.
Oh, yeah.
One's really kind of made a thing of it.
Yeah, it's really good.
But if ever you like make it something like that and the cheese is burnt, you think, well, this is the best food ever. But no one quite...
It's weird because people are getting into... You know, people do burnt caramel or like burnt ends.
Yeah.
So like people are like accepting now that burnt food is quite nice. Yeah. Like charred vegetables and stuff.
Charred vegetables.
I'd
eat pan scrapings.
Yeah.
On the menu. If
it's another good name for a restaurant, by the way. Ed Gamble's Pan Scrapings.
Oh, yes.
Michael McIntyre's Pan Scrapings.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Main course for you, sir.
Yes. It's a tricky one, isn't it? My thing about any restaurant is I always eat exactly the same thing. I will never, ever deviate. If I've liked something once and I go to that same restaurant, I would literally never, ever change because that's my personality type. And to my mind, the whole of London is a menu. And the one thing I like most at the restaurants, that's the menu. And then I choose the thing on the menu that I want.
Yes.
And then I have to go to that restaurant. So
you're travelling around like this anyway when you have a three-course meal.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. No, because I know exactly what they have for each course in any given restaurant. But I think the best main course, really, it's hard, isn't it? Because I do like a steak and chips. And also, it's quite a responsibility, the main course, because that's the meal, really.
The headliner, but weirdly it's in the middle.
Yeah. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's like a jazz club. A jazz club sometimes... No, it's like a comedy club, but then there's a you know, they have a disco after. That's your pudding.
Yeah.
So you'd be playing, that's the main course, or Ed may probably be the starter, more like. But then after you are...
Yeah.
No, you know.
I'm a solid opener.
Yeah, and listen,
it's it's a tricky spot to be in.
You're really good on Mock the Week.
Thank you very much.
I tell you what, I just would not want to be the week sometimes when you're on it.
Oh, watch out the week.
Ouch.
Oh, it's trouble, isn't it?
It really is.
Sometimes you can tell that Ed's going to be on Mock the Week because the week just seems a little bit nervous.
Yeah, a little bit
too. Leading up to it, I'm like, yeah,
tries not to do anything. Just
it's almost as if the week just keeps repeating the same news when it goes on.
No one wants to get over-mocked, do they? And gosh, when Ed's around.
a quivering mess.
Bandaged up.
Rightly so.
So it's hard. It's hard. The main course is hard. So I'm going to go for Christmas dinner. Can I do that?
Oh yes.
Don't you
think?
There
we go.
It's the ultimate meal.
Yeah, and Christmas I'm specifically going to say Christmas dinner from the late 70s, early 80s. You know,
who's cooking it?
My grandparents. Well, no, I say my grandparents, goodness me, it was the 1970s, my grandmother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, my granddad would
go anywhere near that. Goodness me, he's cracking
it. He might prepare the orange juice for starters, right?
Exactly. I'll do the starter, dear.
Is it spiced orange juice on Christmas Day?
Oh, yeah. Mulled orange juice.
Yeah, mulled orange juice. Lovely.
Delicious. Yeah, so, listen, Christmas dinner, turkey, roast potatoes, beef as well as turkey.
Hold on a second.
Whoa.
Gloss over that like it's something everyone does. Two meats.
Just threw it in. Yeah, two meats.
Beef and turkey. How many people were in the family?
Well, that would have been back in those days, it would be like 7 or 8 of us.
Okay.
Something like that.
Still, normally, most gatherings on Christmas Day, 7 or 8 of you, you're having one.
And is that because
some people prefer beef
to turkey, so they'd have beef instead of turkey, or is everyone loading their plate up with Berkey?
Berkey, yeah.
They're going full Berkey.
Teeth.
Yeah, it's full teeth. Yeah.
And the vegetarian's going to have false teeth.
Yeah.
We'd always go double meat. I don't think that was crazily uncommon back in those days when, don't forget, we didn't have the internet, so we had a lot more time for cooking.
Because, nowadays our parents are Googling all the time. Yeah. It's trying to make a full
They're playing Angry Birds instead of cooking a goose.
Yeah.
I think my girlfriend's parents still have two meats, turkey and ham.
You got two meat in-laws.
Two meat in-laws, mate.
Ham isn't a meat, in my opinion. Sorry, just to throw that.
But like a gammon.
I don't want to throw your own logic at you, but define meat, and then I think ham is a meat, Richard.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
They're not just like cracking open a packet of wafer thin or anything. It's like a full gammon.
Like proper, that's fine.
They put it in the oven.
Yeah. I think ham becomes a meat as soon as it is thick as bacon. Okay. Anything thinner than that, and then it's a salami or something Italian.
Yeah.
Anything thicker than that is bacon or a gammon or a pork. Let's not forget they're the same thing.
Sure.
And that's a meat. But as soon as it gets thinner, I don't think that's a real meat.
You don't define this as well. But do you mean like, you know, like a dinner meat, like that you would have as a main cook?
Yeah, I guess.
Because like I feel I'm a traditionalist in this sense, but would just class sandwich thin meat as meat still.
Charcuterie.
I think you're being a little bit arched there, James. Yeah, I think you're showing your poshness there.
I think
a little bit of Kettering showing through. Yeah, there, I'm afraid.
From the old silver Kettering spoon just come out my mouth.
The old Kettering delicatessen.
Yeah.
So what veg are you going with? So we're going
no
turkey
veg.
And beef. No,
that's the key.
No
for me.
Veg on Christmas Day.
No veg. No, I would never. Wow. I mean, everyone else is allowed some. Obviously, but for me, the perfect meal. Yeah, sure, I have them if you want. But I don't enjoy the taste of them.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I have them? So
it's supposed to be a treat, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So my biggest treat is to not
have vegetables. Merry Christmas to me.
Merry Christmas to me.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And I think, you know, because, there's so much good food on that plate. Why then just think, I'll tell you what I'll do. Why don't I do, I have a corner of the plate where there's like much, much worse food that doesn't really taste very nice.
Yes.
Why don't I do that alongside all the really... Or I could get rid of that food and replace it with some of the food that I do like.
More potatoes.
And also, you know, maybe have room for some quality street afterwards. I'd rather have quality street than vegetables.
Sure.
And
would you put those on the plate?
No, that's for afters.
Yeah.
Unwrap and put them on the plate?
Hmm?
You wouldn't unwrap and put them on the plate?
I don't think so. Chocolate
have all
gravy.
The toffee pennies, no, like carrots?
Not a bad idea.
For the naked eye?
Yeah, I should have tried that.
So not even a parsnip?
No.
Roast parsnip, roast carrots, when it sweetens them up.
I mean, not even a parsnip. Come
parsnips
on.
Are delicious.
Because you say it because you think they're sweet, or because they're not the. If someone says no vegetables, I wouldn't think not even a parsnip.
Well, no,
I mean,
a parsnip.
Surely
to
an
me,
aubergine. Surely you'd have an aubergine though.
Yeah.
Parsnip to me doesn't feel like a vegetable. It feels like a different tasting potato.
Well, a potato is a vegetable, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, we all know it's not.
Yeah, I kind of have a thing with, like, it took me a long time to like parsnips because the first time I had one, I thought it was a potato.
I know. Oh,
I might have even told it on this show before. But like, first time I had a parsnip.
Oh, it's a show
like,
now, is it?
Yeah. I thought it was a roast potato. And I ate it and I was very disappointed. So I didn't like parsnips for ages because I thought it was going to be as good as the best thing in the world.
Yeah, I think that's a really common thing is the accidental parsnip.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really ruined a lot of parsnips for a lot of people. You've got to be careful. You've got to be so careful.
But you have, really? You are having roast potatoes at this meal.
Yeah, for sure. Of course,
otherwise,
I haven't lost my mind.
I mean, me and Ed would not be able to defend you from the Twitter trolls.
I love it. I
if
love
you're
it.
Just having straight turkey and beef.
Just like, turkey and
then
beef.
That's not a Christmas dinner, is it? It's just, I would like some turkey and beef.
And some beef.
But like that's what Joel Dommett has for Christmas dinner. Turkey and beef.
I bet he just has a crossfire. Powder.
Followed by reps.
Don't you think? He has a powder and he mixes it in soy milk. And like he just absolutely canes it down.
Yeah.
And that's it. And yeah, then he goes out running in the park. And then like goes on the swings and cries.
Do you think he cries?
Joel? I hope so, don't you? Because otherwise he'd be unbearable. And that, like, surely there must be something wrong with him.
Cry a bit. I don't think
there is, unfortunately.
Joel, who I adore, used to do the warm-up for Pointless. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Oh, he was great.
What would he do? Lift a pensioner above his head?
Yeah, he would always talk to them about liquid food. Yeah.
How is your grandmother... cooking the meat, because obviously we've all, you know, different people cook meat in different ways. Best turkey I ever had was my old flatmate. She's Canadian. On Canadian Thanksgiving, she made a turkey. Mm. She was injecting it with like stuff all day long. I think
heroin.
Like instead of basing it,
heroin.
Yes, actually.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, that's how my nan used
smack
to do turkey.
Yeah,
smack turkey. Yeah, she used to call it smack turkey. We used to call it junk turkey back in those days. She learned it in the war. And it was amazing. The giblets were tiny little condoms full of crack cocaine.
grandmother's something else.
Yeah, well, listen, it was a different time.
No wonder you didn't need parsnips.
There was no internet. Yeah, exactly. No parsnips, right? I'm fine. How was it? Yeah, she wrote, I don't know, she wrote, I'd like I'd paid any attention to that. I was watching...
Was there anything,
Top of the Pops.
Was it better than anyone else's turkey, though?
Yeah, of course, because it was Christmas and you're with your family and you're with people you love.
This meal, then, the main course, are we bussing in your family to be
I think we'd have to. I mean, listen, we'd have to... Let's bus more time machine.
Yeah,
He's a genie.
I'm a genie. I can imagine.
Oh, win. Amazing. I'd love that. Yeah, so we'll head back, we'll have that, and then maybe a little game of Trivial Pursuit or something afterwards. That'd be nice.
Were you good at Trivial Pursuit?
I was all right for like an 11-year-old, but a game, some sort of board game. But anyway, the food itself, that's the best meal. That's the
gravy?
Best meal of the year.
Talk to me about gravy.
Oh, I love gravy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How? I hope so.
Do you cook Christmas dinner now? Are you,
No. God, no. I don't cook anything.
So you don't have any secret roast potato recipe or anything?
I do, actually, which is weird because I never cook them. But I do because I like secrets.
So you're going to keep it a secret?
Oh, God, yeah.
You're not going to tell us your secret roast potato?
Of course not. Otherwise, how would it be a secret roast potato? I mean, that's crazy. Also, I've been asked by the Knights of the Templar to keep it a secret, and I will do. I take that responsibility very seriously.
I'm trying to guess what it is now.
Go on, then.
Do you roast the potatoes in a pan of mashed potato?
Oh,
so you cover them
in
mashed potato.
Yeah.
And then the mashed potato gets hot around them and it roasts them.
Yeah. I call them my potato roast potatoes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well done.
First guess.
Christmas dinner is a great answer for main course.
Yeah, don't you think?
Cranberry sauce?
Why not? But not really. Again, it's too sweet. I don't really like mixing sweet and
bread sauce,
savoury. Yeah, bread sauce would be a bit more appropriate. But, you know, sweet and savoury, is that a thing? Is that a good thing?
Very American, isn't it? It's more like a Thanksgiving sort of thing, having
I like it. I recently started dipping fries into milkshakes.
No.
Very nice.
When I was in China...
In-N-Out burger is nice.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah. I haven't tried it anywhere else, but the kind of fries they have there are quite cardboardy.
Yeah.
So I don't really like them on their own. But
you don't like the In-N-Out fries?
No, but they're perfect
for dipping
in a milkshake.
Is there an In-N-Out over
here now? No, not yet. Ugh. As far as I know. No,
so this is just that I've been to America.
Yeah, this is all I've been to LA.
Been to America, yeah. Been to America and dipped my fries in a milkshake.
Wow.
Vanilla milkshake, In-N-Out fries.
No, I went to China recently.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, because my daughter lives out there, and we go to this restaurant that was this was supposedly a Western restaurant. So we went at one point, and they had this thing, and it said French fries served in the traditional Belgian way with ice cream, right?
Wow!
And you're thinking, okay, but this is clearly a mistranslation, because there's so much mistranslation out there. And it's so we thought, well, let's get them because it'll be mayonnaise and you know, or whatever it is. But I think there had been a mistranslation, but I think they had obviously mistranslated something because it came, this big bowl of fries, but with vanilla ice cream on the top of it.
On it already?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's already on there.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow. It was so brutally awful. I mean, it was really, because I love both of those things.
Yeah. Sure.
Vanilla ice cream and chips.
Yeah.
And I think most things go together if you don't have any standards, which I don't. But it was really, really bad. But yeah, the traditional Belgian way apparently is chips with ice cream. I don't think it is.
No, I don't think I've been to Belgium, but I'm pretty sure they...
Never heard of that. I think we'd all know about it.
It's mayonnaise, right?
They've
made a mistake.
And I would only know that because it's sort of Pulp Fiction. They say that in Holland they drown.
Although these days, the more you go to restaurants, when they bring you chips, they'll bring, do you want mayonnaise or ketchup? You think, no, what I want with my chips, I want vinegar.
Yeah.
Obviously I want vinegar with my chips. Vinegar. And no, people don't.
I like mayonnaise and chips.
But sometimes then they'll bring out balsamic vinegar.
Oh, yeah. No,
and you think, well, of course that's not what I mean. I want.
No one wants that.
But suddenly someone seems to, a couple of years ago, to go, oh, no, what, chips and vinegar? I don't think that's a thing. I don't think people. You think, but that's like the.
Yeah.
Chip shop chips with salt and vinegar just absolutely drenched on them. We used to put so much vinegar on them in school when we went there, that we would then, like, huff them to see if you could, like, do it without having a coughing fit. You put your head over it and breathe in as much as you could without, like, spluttering and ruining your afternoon.
It's like sniffing glue.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Sniffing sarsens.
Huffed chips and vinegar.
Nice.
In the playground.
When I was a kid, we had a fish and chip shop. I looked this up recently when I did my book, The World Cup of Everything. I was looking at all sorts of interesting things. But I was talking about fish and chips. And I remember when I was a kid at our fish and chip shop, you'd get cod and haddock, but you'd also get huss. Right. And it occurred to me, I'd never heard of huss ever since. It's not a thing.
I've never heard of it.
But it's a thing that, so it would always be there. And I looked it up, and the huss is a type of shark.
Wow.
So we were eating shark and chips. That's quite good, isn't it?
But you didn't even know.
That's
it.
Great.
No, it wouldn't have a clue. I think lots of things are types of shark, I think probably is the truth.
Yeah.
But it was, it was shark and chips.
That's shark.
You don't see that anymore. It's probably overfished.
No. I think it's now illegal.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like peanut butter M&M's.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's same
company.
Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it. And then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
So you've got Christmas dinner main course.
Yeah.
And the good thing about this restaurant is you can't get over full.
Oh, no way.
You can be like that's satisfied.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But you're not going to feel sick yeah. enough that you can't move on to the next course.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Best side dish.
Well, the next category is best side.
Oh, no, really?
But you've got Christmas dinner.
I think you found a loophole. We're going to have to let him have it. Or are you going to let him have roast potatoes or his Christmas dinner as a side?
Well, no, because roast potatoes are a type of the part of the Christmas dinner, aren't they?
Yeah.
So what are you putting on the side of the Christmas dinner?
Oh, goodness. I didn't really think that through.
I've got a suggestion.
I'll just say one thing about the format, which is if it is a fantasy meal, we understand it's a fantasy meal.
I'm going to dismantle the format.
No, I'm not dismantling. In any way, I hope I'm helping.
Yes.
I'm just saying if it's a fantasy restaurant, we're having a fantasy meal, then obviously starter is very self-contained.
Yes.
Dessert, self-contained.
Yes.
Drink, self-contained.
Yeah.
Suddenly, bang in the middle of this format,
yes.
like a leaning tower,
yeah.
is two things which are inextricably linked to each other.
Yes.
You know, and I hadn't so really thought that fun. Through.
Ah, well,
I was thinking, okay. what would
you
I have
You appear
aside?
To be blaming the format for your lack of foresight.
I don't think so. Well, let's see.
That's what makes this bit interesting.
This is what brings people back. They come for the food, they stay for the controversy.
Yeah, yeah.
I hadn't really thought that through. Listen, chips are the best. Side. That's if that is a side, but you can't say that. You can't say that they do. There's a restaurant really near here, about two streets over. I won't give away where you are because of your many fans, the gamblers,
the gamblers,
the Acastronauts.
You've thought about that.
I've never thought about that. I want people to know that I've never thought about that. But I like it.
It's good. Acastronauts.
Love it.
God, I thought gamblers was going to be as good as it gets.
Yeah, no, Acastronauts.
No, you've been done there, haven't you?
What are your?
There's a restaurant.
Osmaniacs.
Osmaniacs.
Osmaniacs. Oh, of course. Better, yeah.
Osmaniacs. By and large, they're not maniacs. There is a restaurant very near here. I won't say it is.
You'd say
it
was.
I can't say it is because of the Acastronauts.
If we give it away.
Imagine if they knew.
They'll all be.
Imagine if they knew this was done near Berners Street in London.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We'd be in trouble.
Imagine if they knew it was somewhere within 200 yards of Berners Street in London. And they would be scouring.
They'd be waiting outside.
Well, I'll tell you the way they do it is these days is drones.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they wouldn't come down themselves. Yeah, there's no point, is
it? Scope it out first.
Yeah, drone it. You know, just see
the Acastronauts are very tech savvy.
They are very tech savvy.
Yeah. Have looked down at your copper top. They spot you a mile off. They go, there he is. There's our boy. There's a restaurant near here called the Berners Tavern, which sounds like a Bernie Inn, but isn't. Mm-hmm. It's a nice restaurant, and they do a mac cheese, which is the greatest mac cheese.
Yeah.
In the history of the world.
This is your side dish.
Yeah.
And it goes with Christmas dinner quite nicely. Yeah.
Oh, I suppose so. But it's really, it's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. It's quite something. If you ever get the chance. Why wouldn't you get the chance? Because you're really near it. And you're both earning, you've both done Apollo, you're both earning now. So you can afford to go to Berners Tavern.
Set for life after you've done the Apollo?
Oh, yeah.
I went to a wedding recently.
No way.
And they did mac and cheese like
that's good,
and it was mac and cheese that had jalapenos in it. It's the best mac and cheese I've ever had.
No, really,
really great.
This is good. This has kind of like oxtail on top of it and stuff as well. Ooh. It's really, really good.
There's a takeaway place near me that does mac and cheese balls as a side.
No,
deep fried mac and cheese balls. Amazing.
Wow, where's that? Without giving away where you live,
I'm really worried about
it's
the gambling
house now.
It's it's pretty near where I live. Tell you after.
If they find out where you live, then they can triangulate and they can make an
intercept. Now they're just Googling mac and cheese balls London. They'll narrow it down that way.
That's really easy to do because there can't be that many places to do it.
I think you'll be
North London somewhere because of your generation, probably northeast.
No.
Right,
well, so no, it is narrowing it down. Yes, it is actually. Yeah, mac and cheese. But I think it's more likely. I don't think people would find out where that is to find out where I live. I think they'd be more likely to find out where I live so they could go and find some mac and cheese balls. They just ignore where I am.
Do you think? I think it's easier to Google where the mac and cheese balls are than Google where you live. If we Google where does their gamble live, have you ever tried that?
No.
Should we do that?
Yeah, let's do it right now.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Here we go.
Hold on. I'm getting my, just for the purposes of the tape, I'm getting my phone out, going on Google, but other search websites that Ask Jeeves are available. Where?
See, it's a good job this didn't exist, this technology, when your grandmother was cooking Christmas dinner. She would have been searching this kind of stuff. God, you wouldn't have two meats.
Where does Ed Gamble live? Best live gambling sites.
That's the problem.
Ed Gamble, essentially a great guy, delivering humour through your classic something.
Oh, that's my website. Yeah, that really needs changing.
Really? Ed Gamble, no, went to, where did it? Doesn't say at all.
That's good, isn't it?
Ed Gamble. Oh, Stoke Newington.
No.
Ah.
Imagine if it was, though. I'd like to live in Stoke Newington.
Would you?
Yeah.
You can afford Stoke Newington.
Surely.
Well, I mean, but no, I can't now because we've just said Stoke Newington and I've just said it. So the gamblers are going to find out. They're going to camp out in advance.
They'll move there and just wait for you to.
Where were we?
Mac and cheese.
Oh, mac and cheese.
Yes.
Yeah, the mac and cheese at Berners Tavern is amazing.
Oxtail on it.
Yeah, like, you know, in like a really amazing sort of very rich sauce.
Ed,
it's gorgeous.
I'd like to go there after this recording.
Yeah, yeah.
We're genuinely going to eat that.
I honestly, they sort of serve it as a main course and you can't finish. I guarantee that neither of you will finish it, even though it's amazing.
Okay.
Absolutely guarantee.
We're gonna go
challenge
there.
Accepted.
We're going to go there.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat it and send you a photo of the bowl when it's clean.
Okay.
And then you can lick that bowl.
Oh.
you doubted me.
You've got to come straight over and lick the bowl.
You'll come over and lick the bowl when I've finished it.
James Acas has licked my bowl.
Another great show.
Blimey. I really recommend it.
We can do a side portion of that. Because that mac and cheese is a reasonable side dish.
I think so.
Even if it's usually served as a main there, we can get it as a side for you.
And I feel anything with turkey that has a bit of moisture to it is good as
well. Mixing that in with Christmas dinner is a very good move.
Yes, it's quite, like if you go to a Hawksmoor or something, those restaurants where they're all over the place now, a nice steak with mac and cheese. I mean, it's too much food, but...
But you don't get full. This is a dream restaurant.
Oh, of course, I don't get full.
Yeah.
Although, in some ways, am I full at the end, though?
Oh, you're satisfied with the end. It's not like a nightmare where you're always hungry.
Hold on a minute, this is a nightmare restaurant. You're not a genie.
Turn it up, going like, and for your next course.
And also, you would still put on weight, but you'd just always be hungry.
You'd just be there for
years.
All the negative health.
That'd be really bad. Yeah. And also with my eyesight, I can never really see where the loos are, so I always have to ask. And if I was there for that long, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to have to find out where the loos are.
But that would be a thing as well, is that you would, after you've been to the loo, once you sit back down at your table, which you have to, you forget where the loo is again. That's part of the best time. You never remember where the loo is.
No, it's just over there. You go past that pillar and you sort of walk over there and you're in front of a table of like three tables and you're like, oh, that's not the loo. I think it's, oh God.
And they're all like really attractive people at the table and they all laugh at you.
No.
One of them whispers something to the other one and then they all laugh.
And they all go, it's the guy from Pointless.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even know where the loo is.
He's going for a whittle.
Oh, he's been eating mac and cheese for 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
And look, he's so tall. Did you know he was that tall? Oh, it'd be awful. This restaurant sounds an absolute nightmare.
Why has he got a paper crown on? It's May.
It's a whole family in it. Yeah. Let's keep on turning up for one course and going again and then coming back.
And his grandparents are over 100. And they look surprised to be reanimated.
Pudding.
Pudding. There you're
welcome
talking.
To pudding.
Oh, lovely. And again, this is another format issue because surely everyone says the same pudding.
Oh, no. Oh, here we go.
Well, because there's only one great. Well, the greatest.
Well,
I'm going to try and guess from.
But okay, go ahead. But there is a definitive answer to the best pudding you would ever have.
It's things that I think that you would maybe say.
Yeah, I hear you.
And I don't know what you like, by the way. I haven't spoke to you about what pudding you like, but it wouldn't be some.
Imagine if we had.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird though, because I know you love food and you talk about it a lot. Yeah, we've never had a discussion.
I speak to a lot of people about puddings, though, so not. And also, I know that you do like World Cup of Chocolate and stuff like that. So, which wound me up, as you know. I tweeted you about how much it wound me up.
Yeah, but that's okay.
It didn't wind me up that it existed. The general public's opinions of chocolate. I was so annoyed that. Was it Dairy Milk one?
Dairy Milk won that, yes.
Absolutely.
There's a reason it's popular, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But people just go for like the middle of the road one.
Well, no.
It really made me angry.
When you've got a lot of people, this is why it's hard to win an election. It's why people don't understand how to win elections.
Yeah,
it's because, you know. Anyway, that's a different podcast.
I like a Dairy Milk.
Yeah, they're fine. It's not the best chocolate bar. Taste.
They're fine, Ed. You don't want to win the World Cup of Chocolate,
yeah, they're no Maltesers.
Well, they're no Kit Kat Chunky with peanut butter, which is my
favourite. Oh, yeah, that's good.
More up my street.
Yeah, that's good as well.
I like Maltesers, obviously, but then I would take a teaser over a Malteser. A Malteser's teaser.
Yeah, teasers are interesting. Yeah.
Then you overdo them.
Yeah, exactly. Because the dream was always when they bought out the Maltesers in celebrations, and you just went, well, this is a better version of a Malteser, which is impossible. Yeah. Imagine if they made a whole bar that was this.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they did.
Yeah.
And then by the seventh one, you're like, oh, yeah. I had too many of these.
Yeah.
It's like the people are clamouring for a giant cream egg.
Yes.
At Easter.
Yeah. Oh, and be careful what you wish for.
People would die if there was a giant
cream egg. Yeah, I don't think
they
would like it. Yeah. But that's what I thought Easter eggs were. Oh. When I was a kid and I saw them for the first time, it was like, oh, I thought they were all what it said it was.
Yeah, yeah.
A Mars egg was full of
Mars
nougat and caramel, and like I just thought everything was that's what it was.
What
I
would
was
be the so best? Excited. Let's assume a normal sized Easter egg.
Yeah.
And let's assume it has the complete filling of the chocolate bar it represents.
Yeah,
yes.
What would be the most bearable to eat? Most
bearable, yeah.
Because cream egg impossible because of the sweetness.
Double decker because then it will change halfway through.
But that's a lot. You're getting through a lot of nougat there.
Flake
a lot of nougat.
Well, I was thinking Aero. Messy, I was thinking Aero.
Yeah, possibly, that'd be good. It's got a mint Aero, that'd be quite nice.
A mint Aero, but it was still, I mean, none of them are going to work, particularly, no. I don't think.
I'd want it to be a soft one. I'd want it to be something that you normally don't get in that quantity.
Bounty?
Yeah. No,
that's
not about
Look at him.
That's God.
That's the most annoyed I've
seen. I like
seen
Bounty. I like dark chocolate Bounty.
Dark chocolate Bounty?
Oh, yeah. I prefer dark chocolate to milk chocolate.
Goodness.
How do you like that? Well, if every single chocolate bar came in dark chocolate version, I would always buy that version. Always.
That's interesting. That's very sophisticated.
Any chocolate bar. Milky bar, I'd buy a dark chocolate version.
They do that. Well, that's the thing about Kingdom of Sweets. They do dark chocolate versions of virtually everything.
Yeah.
Don't they? There's always like dark chocolate Snickers. It's like about 40 different types of Snickers I saw today.
Yeah. You realise how much we're getting mugged off over here.
Yeah, we really are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really are.
Kind of stuff.
Although we do good chocolate, but yeah.
Yeah, we do. But my favourite chocolate in the world, Whittaker's. I think I've said that on the show as well.
Whittaker's is good.
Whittaker's from New Zealand, best chocolate in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
But is that dark chocolate?
They got dark chocolate in their range. It's like their Cadbury's, but they do so many different chocolate bars, and it's all amazing.
It's the closest to Willy Wonka chocolate I've ever had. In the way it's wrapped in foil and it's got like big chunks and the different flavours. The peanut butter Whittaker's is.
And where do we get it over here?
I think there's certain places that sell it. Well, I know there are because my friends have bought them for me before.
No way.
And I have to kind of say, don't tell me where you got this, because if I
if you find out, that's
the end of my life.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. I
like so, James, what was your guess?
Tiramisu was what I was going to guess.
Oh my God, Osborne. That's literally the furthest. I mean, like, you could not be. I like almost every pudding.
Yeah.
The only puddings I don't like tiramisu.
I don't like tiramisu.
Anything with coffee, and I don't like it. You know on MasterChef?
Mm.
This drives me crazy. And so you're doing a pudding. What are you doing for pudding?
Yeah.
And they go, oh, I'm doing a poached pear in a red wine sauce. Yeah, you think that is not a pudding.
It's not a pudding.
It's literally like the
poached
worst.
Poached pear can.
It's a bit of wet fruit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Not. Well, that's pudding for someone who has no joy in their life at all and doesn't like pudding.
Mr. Burns would eat that.
Yeah.
Your poached pear.
That guy.
Yeah.
Bloody infuriating.
Here's
me.
My guess. Sticky toffee pudding.
Not
that's
sticky
quite
toffee
a
pudding.
Guess for Osman, actually.
Better than tiramisu.
Yeah.
Chocolate fudge cake.
I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say you have one element right there.
Chocolate.
Yep, there is chocolate involved.
Chocolate brownie.
No.
I feel like I've got one more guess.
Chocolate fondant.
No, there's another flavour in there, and then it has a form.
Dark chocolate gâteau.
It is dark chocolate, actually, but it's not especially a gâteau.
What's the other? Orange?
No.
Mint. Mint choc chip
it's
ice
going
cream.
For an after eight.
You are a so close. You're so close with mint choc chip ice cream. This might be before your time.
After
still
eight.
Do them though.
Oh, this will be
mint Viennetta.
Oh,
is
yeah.
The answer to your
okay,
question.
Yeah,
mint
enough.
Viennetta.
I can see why you would think everyone would say that.
But
it
they
was
would.
The,
it is the best. Don't it say was.
Well, it was the thing that everyone wanted for a while.
There's a man who hasn't been to Iceland for a while.
yeah. Apologies.
You know, in Iceland, there's a Malteser Viennetta. Can you imagine such a thing?
Have you tried it? Have you
no, I haven't actually. I haven't had it. But that's worth having.
You've only
a go.
Heard of it. That's almost
I've
more intriguing that you've not had it and that you know about it.
I know about it, but I just think because I'm a mint Viennetta, I think it's very hard. Because they did a plain Viennetta, of course. Mm-hmm. I don't need to tell you guys that, which was really good and so elaborate. Viennetta for very something elaborate. It was invented in the 70s, so it was an extraordinary piece of food technology. Again, in the book, The World Cup of Everything, I talk about the guy who invented it. He's a chemist, and it's so brilliant. But then the mint Viennetta, because I love mint chocolate chip ice cream. I think it's the greatest of all ice creams. If you're doing best ice cream flavour. Again, when I was younger, when I was a kid in the 70s, you didn't really have flavours for ice creams. You had three flavours, which were vanilla, chocolate and strawberry.
Yeah.
And then there were only two other flavours, right? One of which is raspberry ripple, which yes. I can see that. But then the other flavour is a flavour, literally there were five flavours, and one of it was this last one, which you just think, that's a flavour they should be inventing sort of now.
Yeah.
Right. And it was, which was rum and raisin.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
Rum and raisin was like the big, it was the fifth ice cream. God.
Yeah.
And you think that's so crazily, how did that happen?
Weird. Yeah, they didn't. You'd think there would be some progression there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some other ice
cream. Like Ben and Jerry's now, we'd be going, I'll tell you what, bring that rum and raisin. You go, oh, I can see that. Yeah, yeah. Kind of tropical, but yeah, that's...
maybe go from raisin, start with raisin at least, and then go...
Yeah, raisin.
And then one of them accidentally spills a bit of rum in there or something. Yeah.
Like the Alexander Fleming of ice creams. Because you know the very first two ever crisp flavours... The experimenters, they were always ready sorted. Yeah. They tried for years, and it was the Irish Tato who made the first crisp flavours, and they experimented with two flavours. Literally the very, very, very first experiments they ever did. And the two flavours were salt and vinegar and cheese and onion.
Yeah.
So the two most popular, literally the first two they ever did.
So they could have gone with anything.
Yeah. We could all be eating paprika crisps like the Germans.
Yeah, I do like a paprika crisp.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I like paprika.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I like when they put it on fries there as well.
Okay, yeah, I understand. Fries. Yeah, that's I can good. See that. Yeah, I'm not a big paprika fan, I have to say. Well, I suppose we have vinegar, don't we? And they have paprika.
If you had one herbal spice for the rest of your life, what would you choose?
Oh, this is a new. That's a whole other podcast.
No, this is him trying to say the ingredient I'm not allowed to say, which you guys don't like. Which
I don't think it is. I don't think it would be so sneaky, Richard.
If I could have one
herbal spice.
Oh. That's a really good question. Gosh. Name some spices. I really like thyme. I like rosemary with thyme is lovely. Okay. Rosemary and thyme, like lamb, rosemary and thyme.
Mm.
That's a nice thing. But salt, I guess. That's the only answer we all truly have.
Yeah, love salt.
It's the best, right?
Yeah, it really is the best.
I mean, well.
Whenever people on Masterchef, they're going to put a little bit of margarine on this. You think, yeah, just put some salt in it. Honestly,
yeah.
Everyone would be much happier. Just put some salt and some butter.
Salted butter.
Salted butter. Oh. It's nice, isn't it? But yeah, so mint Viennetta.
Mint Viennetta.
I don't see anything beating it. Again, if Heston came up with a mint Viennetta.
How much if you could eat in one sitting, mint Viennetta?
Whole one.
You could eat a whole one?
Yeah.
Especially in the dream restaurant.
Yeah, of course.
Would you take it slice by slice, or would you just sit down and get a spoon?
No, I think slice by slice. I think slice by slice for some decorum. Yeah, listen, it's tricky. Obviously, I wouldn't eat a full one, but in this dream restaurant, that would be a reason to go. To find it. Like when I was a kid and you buy panini stickers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the dream then is always, you always buy one packet at a time, so you've got no money. And the dream is always to go into the newsagent and get a whole box.
Get the box,
which I did as an adult. You know, I went in the thing and I've still got it completely unopened. So I thought that's a little present to 11-year-old me. That's my little gift, and I always keep
it. Nice.
And the same way that a child me would have gone, if I could eat a whole mint Viennetta, that was it, I could die happy. I probably would die. But I would die happy. And this, you've given me that perfect opportunity in this dream restaurant where I don't get full.
Was there ever cooks for me? I would always think that kind of stuff as a kid. That's what I wanted to do. And nowadays I don't do that as an adult.
Yeah.
But there was a time... late teens, early 20s, where I was doing that stuff all the time.
Because you realise that no one's telling you can't do it.
Yeah. No one's telling me what I can't do. And I didn't know anything about any health risks or anything of doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I was eating like a tub of ice cream, I don't know, 2-3 times a week. I get a full tub.
And also you don't put on weight.
Yeah, weirdly.
See, I was doing that sort of stuff and being a big fat boy.
Yeah, same.
I used to... I lived an hour from any of my friends, and I was always walking around eating ice cream. But
the walking around though was helpful.
It was helpful.
Yeah, if sitting down eating ice cream is bad, walking around eating ice cream, you're all right.
I wasn't doing it at the same time. I'd walk there, eat the ice cream, and then walk back. Yeah, that's still 2 hours walking.
Didn't
a day.
You recently go to a party and buy a full tub of ice cream from the shop, and then borrow someone's spoon from the house party, and then walk home eating a tub of ice cream and threw the spoon in a bush?
Yes.
I think the one question we all have is, what flavour was it?
Yeah, good question. It was peanut butter cup Ben and Jerry's. Oh.
That's my favourite.
That is. I'm so glad you said that.
What a applause from Osmond.
Beautiful answer.
Yeah, that is a great.
That's
answer.
Amazing. That's you get flavor. It. And it's got like the little miniature. Like,
yeah.
Oh my
god. Some of them are really big chunks in there. As well.
It's incredible.
My mum made when we were kids. Oh, she still makes it now at Christmas. But this like obviously homemade peanut butter cups. It's called peanut butter slice. It's like a tray bake.
Oh no!
And then she started putting it in ice cream and called it peanut butter slice cream.
Oh, and, genius!
It was the best dessert. But yeah.
I met your mum. And next time I meet your mum, I shall ask her about that.
Yeah, because my mum was you were saying about people always remarking on how tall you are, even though it's obvious I don't need to say it. My mum very loudly right next to you while you were talking to my dad said how tall you were. To me, she went, "He's so tall."
But
like,
to be fair,
need to hear that, Mum.
No, it's okay. Sometimes I do need to
be
reminded.
I apologise, Richard. It was out of order.
I thought it was fine. Listen, yeah. she's a great woman. She's the inventor of the peanut
butter
slice cream. Peanut butter slice cream.
Yeah,
that's great.
They like meeting you very much. Well, my I've told Richard this in the past, but my family are a bit obsessed with him anyway because I did insert name here with Richard, which is the team captain.
Yeah,
you gonna call yourself that? Yeah. And it's always a different name each time. It was Charlie, who's my nephew. So I was trying to do a joke that Charlie had written for me. But I'd said at the start of the show what joke I was going to do. So then Richard got there before me and did the joke instead. And then my nephew was allowed to watch that. He's only five at the time. And he was allowed to watch it. And now any time... And I was saying, we went to get ice cream actually as a family. We're in an ice cream shop.
Yeah.
There was a
Baskin Robbins.
It wasn't. It was Chin Chin Labs, and there was this high shelf that kids could climb up and get on if they were crafty enough. He climbed up on there and he said to me, "Am I as tall as your friend now?" And I didn't know who he was talking about because I'm involved in this like home conversation with his mum and dad. I was like, "I don't know what you mean. I'm as tall as your friend." It was for ages, and then my sister had to come along and go, "He's talking about Richard Osman. If he's as tall as Richard Osman, because Richard did his joke and he knows a lot
about
him."
It's a good gag, though.
Yeah, every time he's tall, he asks, every time he climbs up somewhere high and he asks, "Am I as tall as your friend now?"
Yeah.
Yes, you are. Well done.
I mean, listen, a great gagsmith, but it doesn't understand height.
Does not
understand
how that
works,
height.
Does he?
No. Yeah, he not really to bring that to him.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
We haven't done drink.
You must be thirsty.
So you've got water.
Yes,
that's it. You've got your tap water going on. But what are you drinking with this meal?
That's a tricky one. I'm one of those people. If I'm really honest, I don't really like alcohol. Right. I drink it. I drink plenty of it, and I've really learned to
Yeah.
Go, oh, yeah, I would really like to have some wine. Yeah, I really would. And I really like being drunk. I love being drunk. Yeah. I'm a properly good drunk, so I like it. But, you know, it wouldn't be my first choice. My first choice, like, sort of, my first choice would be Diet Coke. Isn't that awful?
But it just works.
Because I drink so much of it.
I like it a lot.
You know, but, why do we like it?
I'll tell you why I like it.
Okay.
I stopped drinking, I stopped drinking caffeine in 2013.
Yeah.
And although, like, I didn't know that, but I stopped drinking Coke in general.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, even though there's caffeine in it, I'll allow myself some Diet Coke. But this was like 4 years later. So I hadn't had any Coke, anything that tasted like Coca-Cola. I hadn't done it. And then Diet Coke now tastes like Coke used to.
Yeah.
It doesn't taste like it. Before, I'd be like, this tastes like a bad version of Coke. Yeah, but now I'm like, this is what Coca-Cola tastes like, and I can't tell the difference.
I've never really drunk normal Coke, so...
No, I've tasted Diet Coke for a long time. But I've always... I went about 2 years without drinking it at all, because one assumes that if you imagine that you should always imagine you're in a sci-fi film at any given time. One assumes when they look back on this time, and they're allowed to go, and they were drinking the... They were drinking the fizzy brown stuff that killed them.
Yeah.
You know, and they were literally they were going to shops and doing it themselves. They were killing themselves deliberately. They were doing it, and to me, that's the that's the kind of product that would. So I went a couple of years without it, but then you're back on it. It's just great.
Yeah,
but it's weird.
But that's a good pairing for your meal, I think.
You think?
Because if you're drinking wine throughout that, you know, you get to the Viennetta and you'd be drinking a red wine with Viennetta. I think it doesn't go well together. Whereas Diet Coke goes with everything.
It really does, doesn't it? Like lemon, which goes with everything.
Yeah. What do you think of the flavoured Diet Cokes that they brought out, all the different ones?
Right, well, I'll tell you.
Take us through them.
Cherry Diet Coke I didn't used to mind, but then they added like a kick to it.
Chili, the fiery chili one.
And I had that. I just thought, this is like
it's
like
not
catching in my throat. I don't like it. The vanilla I didn't like. I thought it was too vanilla. Mm-hmm.
Peach.
By too vanilla, do you mean the vanilla flavour was too strong, or it was too boring?
Or it was too weak.
Yeah.
I found it was both too strong and too weak.
Yeah.
And I think when I was over in Japan recently, and I had a Coke, what was it called? Coke Plus, I think it was, which is supposed to be really good for you. It's supposed to be like a health Coke.
Right.
And it was really nice. It just tasted like normal Coke, but it's like a health, so it's like makes you better. I can't remember how, but I looked it up, obviously. I looked it up, and they said, oh, it's going to make you better. It's like kind of like Uber Miracle Coke.
Is that? That's not the normal Coke now. They should just do that everywhere.
Yeah,
it tastes the same.
Well, they should certainly bring it over.
Yeah.
And it was clear, like Tab used to be.
Oh, great.
So that was
quite... Was it water?
Oh, hold on a minute. And it wasn't fizzy.
Richard, you've been done.
So that was good. So the normal cherry Coke, I don't mind. They did a lemon and lime Coke for a while, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't really like the flavours, I'm going to be honest with you. I liked cherry until they changed it and gave it that little kick.
I like cherry Pepsi Max. That's one of my favourite drinks.
It's quite, it feels
didn't
like...
know that about you?
Yeah.
It's. I mean, listen, I can drink... It makes me feel dirty drinking that. That to me is like the kind of... That's the sort of, you know, someone who's a drug addict and then goes on to heroin.
Yeah.
And you kind of go, listen, mate, that's now
it's
probably...
a step too far, yeah.
And I think that with cherry Pepsi Max, because they do it in slightly bigger bottles as well.
500 ml.
We're going to give you 33% more of this thing that really, if you stop for 1 second to think about what you're actually tasting, you go, what am I doing? What is this? But I still like it sometimes, but not. It doesn't make me feel good about myself.
Classic Diet Coke with the meal.
Coke Zero.
Coke Zero?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I should have said that.
You're hard.
Yes, sorry. I know.
Big man on campus.
Yes.
why do you choose Coke Zero over Diet Coke?
Well, I often think that somewhere way up above us, there are giants in white coats looking down every time I go into a newsagent and buy put back a Diet Coke and pick out a Coke Zero. There's someone in that white coat in a microscope going, fascinating. How fascinating. Because, of course, there's no... Other than, it's the thing is black, isn't it? And it's a bit more boisey.
Yeah, that's...
And
that's
so... Isn't that a pathetic... What a pathetic species.
You don't
want
to buy a Diet Coke, I think the newsagent's thinking,
someone's buying a Diet Coke. I just think, it's a bit more kind of... Yeah, I'm just more comfortable with it.
But that's why Coke Zero is basically... They brought it in because it was supposed to be like a manly Diet Coke.
Yeah, and it's a work of genius because we are idiots. And it doesn't affect my behaviour in other ways, I don't think. But, you know, on that tiny little outskirt of my personality, which is, do I want the thing that is 1% more manly or 1% more womanly. I think I'm going to go for the manly.
By Yorkie as well.
No, that's too far because they expressly said they're for men. Right, so, okay, no, whoa, that's not for me.
Not cool.
No, like thank FHM. You. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I will not be doing that.
Yeah.
But something where I still, you know, yeah, no, listen, I'm a slave to my genetics, I suppose. There it is.
Fair enough.
You know, I am who I am. You know,
wouldn't make you feel bad about that.
Yeah,
at least you're prepared to admit. I'd probably got more. I'd have gone after you more if you were trying to pretend it was for any other reason.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. I think it tastes the same.
Yeah.
I assume it does.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, my taste buds are so broken by years of drinking Diet Coke that it's.
I think some people buy Coke Zero because the name
is a good name.
Makes you think that this maybe Diet Coke has got other stuff in it that is bad.
Yeah.
And this is ultimate zero. Diet Coke. Yeah.
No, but it's a really good name. I mean, honestly, you have to hand it to some marketeers and stuff like that. Because Diet Coke, but Coke Zero, they're making it sound like cool. better than a normal Coke.
And Zero is a cool word because it starts with a Z.
Of course it is. And, you know, it's in lots of computer games and stuff like that. And, you know, you just think, Coke Zero.
And you think of any word that begins with a Z that is not cool.
Zebra.
That's cool.
That's
no,
cool.
No, really?
Yeah.
You think?
Zebras are cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Out of all the animals, it's a cool animal.
Well, I suppose so.
I can picture a zebra, won't you?
Yeah. It's the only animal that makes the self-service tills go beep, isn't it? When it walks past. Yeah, there you go.
That's pretty cool.
That's a barcode joke. so any word beginning with Z.
Yeah. Zap. Cool.
Cool.
Zoetrope.
Cool.
Yeah.
Zip. Cool.
Yeah, really cool. Ziplock.
Ziploc, cool. Yeah. Zigzag, cool.
Zigzag, really cool. Come on. A word. Zither is not, but it's
Zither's
not stupid.
Cool.
Yeah, it's not uncool.
Pretty cool there, yeah.
It's not. There must be other words beginning with Z.
Zit. Even zit.
Oh, no, that's
no,
not cool.
Zit's no, not cool.
Yeah, have I done it?
Yeah.
I think zit is probably
not cool.
Yeah,
I've
not cool.
I've got a zit.
That's the,
it's
yeah.
cooler than spot.
Cooler
though.
Than spot.
Do you think?
You got to go, like, relatively speaking.
We're going to have to wrap it up, unfortunately.
No, that's absolutely fine.
We've come to the end of the podcast and the end of the alphabet.
Cool. Just going to read your order back to you, make sure I got it right.
Okay. This is some format. Go on.
Yeah. You would like... You wanted the tap water.
Yes,
you want
please.
Some bread to start, and you want it warm with the butter, nice and warm as well, but not too warm.
Salted.
Ham and cheese toasted to start. You want a Christmas dinner that's from the 70s that your grandmother
Yeah, or cooked. Early 80s.
Yeah, two meats. Mac and cheese on the side from...
Berners Tavern, where you're going to go.
Absolutely. Put in a mint Viennetta, and all the way along, you'll be drinking a manly, manly Coke Zero.
Yes, please. Oh, what a lovely meal. I'm full. Thank you, gentlemen.
That's all good choice.
That was so lovely.
No worries.
That's all right, isn't it? Nice things.
You didn't say the...
No, what were they? I bet it's coriander.
It was coriander.
Yay!
Get out of my restaurant! Don't ever say that again.
You can't say I don't know comedy.
Yeah. We know what's a room splitter and what isn't.
Yeah, that is a room splitter.
We end a big old room split.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you, gents. Very best of luck with it. I hope it goes from strength to strength.
No, what are you talking about? The Diet Coke? Talking about the Coke Zero going from strength to strength? I bet you wish it was stronger. Is this over now?
Oh, that's a great out. Do that as your out.
Yeah.
It's over now.
That's going in.
My genie powers are fading.
Yeah. Get back.
Oh, he looks so pale.
Get back in your lamp.
Oh, goodbye.
And then he disappeared.
I've got into a lamp now for the listeners. I've got into a lamp.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Richard Osman there.
Whoa! So much food.
What a lovely episode that was.
Really good episode. He's really insightful. You get him started on any subject, he'll tell you about it. Let me tell you.
It was a good choice for all the meals. I thought Christmas dinner was an inspired choice for main course.
Yeah, and... What is good is that people can't choose the same ones as other people on other episodes. So even though he's just kind of done the best answer anyone could ever give.
It's all downhill from here.
No one else can do it.
And what's good about having Richard Osman on is he really picks holes in the format.
Yeah. He knows how to... He really rakes over the format. And fair play to him. But I think he's confused holes in the format with, his inability to nail his answers.
I would actually say that... The so-called holes in the format are actually just wonderful avenues for discussion.
Yeah.
And also he said the side wasn't a good idea and then put mac and cheese, which is the best side choice we've had.
Yeah, especially with Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
very, very good. So,
but what a wonderful guest.
What a wonderful guest. He didn't say coriander.
No, and in fact, he saw what we were pushing for.
Yeah, he even knew.
You were pretty blatant with that, though, to be honest.
Yeah, I was trying to get him to...
Yeah.
Just wanted to kick him out of the restaurant for fun.
Yeah.
We've been picking on you so much, you know.
We'll be back next week when our guest is Theresa May, the Prime Minister of England.
Yeah.
But if she cancels, it'll be someone else that we know.
Yeah, a friend of ours.
Goodbye and bon appetit.
Bon appetit!
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast is coming out. Oh wait, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.